So this morning, let's get into the Word of God. This morning, I want to share with you a word that's actually been percolating. Do you know the word percolate? Yeah, maybe your coffee percolates, it kind of percolates, it bubbles, it, you know, brews. Well, this word has been percolating in my spirit for a long while now. And God's been kind of speaking it out. And, you know, I come back to this word regularly. And I find my mind and my heart are both resting and pondering on it. You know, you rest on that word, and you're challenged by that same word. You ponder that word, and you think, boy, you know, what does that mean for me, and how do I engage that in a way that makes sense, that's doing what God's called me to do? And so it's just a verse, simply a verse that's found in Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Joshua chapter 1. It'll also be on the screen, but it simply says this: "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Those are powerful, powerful words in God's word. "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. You know, just having helped at my very first Remembrance Day service next door at the Legion as the chaplain for the first time this year, I'm really impacted, you know, by the depth and the significance of the sacrifices that were made for my freedom as a Canadian. Some of you were there at the Remembrance Day service. We have pictures on our website as well of from that as well. It was just absolutely fantastic. Lots of community showing up for that, and it was really, really good. But you know, I'm impacted there, being there and being part of the Legion by the significance of those sacrifices that were made for my freedom as a Canadian. And you know, over the past few months being at the Legion, I've really found myself stopping to look carefully at the pictures of the soldiers that are there in the hallway as you enter into the Legion. There's these pictures displayed in glass cases. There's medals, there's different things like that. But there's these pictures of groups of soldiers from the war and overseas and from older and younger. And, you know, I look at that and I just find myself stopping and looking at those pictures. Looking at those pictures and seeing those people that fought side by side. And I wonder what was going through their minds when this picture was taken. Because these pictures were taken overseas, you know, what was going through their minds? What were they thinking about? Were they feeling strong and courageous, or were they fighting fear? You know, it's really hard to know. I haven't been a soldier, so I don't know what that exactly would feel like. I know there are some of you that have been in the armed forces that are here today. You know, in our lives as followers of Jesus, we want to walk in courage and in boldness. We want to walk in that courage and boldness that God has for us. But we can find ourselves many times doubting and fighting fear. Do any of you do that? Is there anyone here, or is it just me today? There's a couple people. Yeah, we fight fear. We fight doubting. You know, we fight those things, and we have a hard time being courageous and bold, even as followers of Jesus. When Jesus says, "I'm with you, and I'll never leave you," and we still have this fight, we have this tension within us. And so, you know, I have to say that even being a leader requires me to constantly be looking to God for my strength and my foundation. At times, I feel like, you know, you may feel like you're fighting waves of fear and discouragement. But the important thing is to resist and to actually rebuke those fears, to get rid of those fears, to cast those fears and discouragements out. Because if you just let them sit there and you meditate on those things, it doesn't help you go anywhere forward. In fact, it holds you back. It holds you back. And so I believe that this word is also for us today, as God would speak with a strong voice through his word to you and to I. So can you open your Bible, if you haven't already opened it, to Joshua chapter 1. And we're just going to read for a little bit of context, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, okay? And some of you are very familiar with the story, but we're going to just read that for those of you that may not be very familiar with the story of Joshua preparing to head into the Promised Land. So here's what it says. You can follow with me on the screen if you like. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Verse 6 continues, it says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, God, that throughout history you have been with us. You have been with your people, God. You have been seeing your mandate, Lord, seeing what your will is, Lord, happen through those that you love, Lord, through those that would be obedient to your call, obedient to listening to your voice and saying yes. And God, we just thank you for Joshua. We thank you, Lord, how you led him to lead the people of God into the promised land. We thank you, God, that you say in your word that you'll never leave us or forsake us. In many different places in the word, Lord, you say that. And we just thank you, God. We thank you for that truth. Lord, we thank you that you challenge us to be strong and courageous, to not fear, or to not be discouraged. And we pray this morning, Lord, I pray this morning for each one of us. God, as you've been speaking this message to me, Lord, would you speak this message to each and every single person here this morning? And Lord, it doesn't matter if there's two of us here. It doesn't matter if there was 1,000 of us here. Jesus, you have a word for us today. I pray that you would speak that, Lord, clearly into each and every single person here. And God, I pray that if there would be any resistance to hearing your word today, Lord, God, that they would just allow that to be put down to the ground, Lord, and they would open their ears and open their hands to you to say, Lord, I receive what you have for me today. God, have your way. We just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I have long said that a Christian should never be bored with their relationship with God. A Christian should never be bored with their relationship with God. They should never say, oh, yeah, being a Christian, yeah, it's okay, you know. Come to church, it's okay, you know, I'm not really digging this or I'm not really into that, but yeah, you know, it's okay. It should never be boring. It should never be boring. And that, you know, if you are bored in your walk with Jesus, you're probably not doing something right, actually. You're probably not living out your life for Jesus. You're probably maybe just giving him some of your life and not all of your life. And so, you know, that's the reality. That's the truth, because God has so much for us if we are listening and being obedient to follow his good plans for our lives. We'll be living out a rich and vibrant walk with God. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. We can read that in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, God's word says. And I come back to that again and again. Because when I find that life is getting maybe just really routine and really mundane and really, you know, losing that sparkle of walking with Jesus, I have to kind of ask myself, so where am I not engaging God in the fullness that he has for me? Where am I missing the mark? Where am I not hearing what he has for me, that next thing for me to walk into and walk with him as he leads me? along a path that is full of his life and full of that abundant life. As he shows his faithfulness, as we're able to say, God, I trust you in this, because it's not something I can do in my own strength. I trust you to walk into this and believe that you're walking ahead of me. And I would encourage you, ask yourself that question from time to time. Where am I at with Jesus? Where am I at with my walk with Jesus? Am I being strong? Am I being courageous? Or am I living in fear? Am I living in discouragement? Ask yourself that question from time to time. And I want to be clear, I'm not talking about that hype or the adrenaline stuff, you know. I'm not talking about, you know, that stuff. I'm talking about, right now, about the wow, what are we doing together next, God, kind of experience. You know, that question you say, God, what's next? Where are we going next together? But this full life that we can have in Jesus today, it's here, it's now, and it does require us, as it required Joshua, to be strong and courageous. It requires that of us. And that strength and courage that comes from God allows us to say yes and amen to his calling. You know, but the reality as we read on is that the verse tells us about what will rob us of strength and courage. And it's that fear and discouragement. How many of you, when there's that fear and discouragement in your life, boy, it's really hard to be courageous. It's really hard to say, I've got the strength of the Lord, when you're just getting blasted from all sides with fear and discouragement. You know, fear and discouragement finds its way into the life of the church sometimes. And also, as people, we're paralyzed by fear as God's people to move forward, or discouraged when things don't seem to be going the way that they think they should be going. And fear and discouragement can be devastating to us as individuals and the church as a whole. That's the reality. That's the truth. You may think differently, but the truth is that is the reality. But as we read in the verses a few moments ago, Joshua is this example of a leader that was called by God to take the people forward out of fear and discouragement. Do you realize he took 2 million people from the wilderness to the promised land in Canaan? 2 million. It wasn't like, you know, a couple hundred people, 1,000 people. It was 2 million people. Can you imagine that? 2 million people. Hey, we're going to go now to the promised land. So let's all pack up our stuff and let's head on over. That'd be a pretty amazing sight. I want to encourage us this morning that we can take a hold of that command to be strong and courageous. We can take a hold of that. We could take a hold of it and say, God, I want to be strong and courageous, just as Joshua was, just as many people in the Bible were strong and courageous. We can read those stories over and over again. Because, friends, God is leading us as a church to a place that will require strength and courage. It will require strength and courage. As we reach out more and more to people who are in spiritually dark places, to those in need of a spiritual doctor, when they come to find Jesus in this place, we are going to need strength and courage to press in for the long haul. To say to that person that we're here to stay and walk with you. We're here to stay and walk with you to a place of health. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready for that? Because you got to prepare yourself for that. As a church, we're going to need strength and courage to become whole, to become one body, putting aside our pride and asking forgiveness for past hurts that we have caused, and even accepting forgiveness so that we can be made right before God, healed and restored. That's the journey that we're on. That's the journey that God's called me here for, to walk with you through. And if you'll trust him in that, you'll see an amazing revival right across the Sunshine Coast. And in each of our lives, as God raises up the church to all that he has for the church. You know, we read about how God spoke to Joshua and promised to give him the victory in this new land flowing with milk and honey. You know, I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. Again, I say that's something we don't share enough. We don't say that from the pulpit. Preachers don't say that enough. Jesus is coming back soon. No one knows the day or the time. And I believe that God is preparing his church. He's preparing this church to be used in a powerful way in this community on the Sunshine Coast. He has something that is specific for us to do for this day and for this time. I believe in the kingdom of God. I don't believe that any one church is way greater than any other church. And anyone that communicates that kind of stuff, they really need to check themselves, because that's not right. The kingdom of God is God's people, and we're all called to different purposes to share his good news in different ways, in different places. And so that's what we're called to here, to share his good news here in this land, here in this place, here in this time. And so, you know, it's not going to be any man-made strategy that will see this come to pass. Like, just like Joshua, he didn't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make this plan up. I'm going to get some guys together, and we're going to work through a whole strategy of how we're going to move from the wilderness into the promised land. And then, you know what we'll do? We're going to have some other meetings, and we're going to, you know, gather some more people together from that 2 million, and we're going to kind of see how that works, and if people are into that, and then we'll execute that plan. God spoke that plan. It was God's sovereign plan. It was God's sovereign timing to see that happen. It's a sovereign move of God in conjunction with his people being obedient to carry out his plans. God didn't say, I'm just going to do this despite of you, Joshua. He said, no, I need you to do this. You're going to do this. So God works with his people to carry out his plans. Because even Joshua had to be obedient to what God was telling him to do in order to see the blessing of God come to pass for him and all of Israel. So there are three things that we can learn from what God instructed Joshua in these verses. With this, we can look forward with a sense of courage and excitement at what God is doing, going to do here. In order for Joshua to succeed, he had to do three things. And number one was that he had to be strong and courageous, because the job ahead of him was not going to be easy. Has anyone ever said to you, or did anyone ever tell you before you became a Christian, or in there telling you about Jesus, hey, you know what, being a Christian is going to be very easy? Did anyone ever give you that? Did anyone give you that false advertising? They say, hey, I just want you to know, following Jesus, it's no problem. It's going to be so easy for you. You know, I hope no one did that for any of you here, because that would be really just false advertising. The promise is that when you're in faith in Christ, he is with you through the tough times and through the good times. You're not on your own anymore. You're not alone anymore. But it's actually calling us to a higher standard. Being a Christian, following Jesus, calls us to a higher standard. It calls us to a whole different place. It calls us to the narrow path, not the broad, wide open path. And that's a choice. You know, that's a choice any one of us here have to make, that choice. Will we follow Jesus on that narrow path? Or will we choose to just walk the wide open, broad path? So in order for Joshua to succeed, he had to be strong and courageous, because the job ahead of him was not going to be easy. He had to lead more than 2 million people into a foreign new land and conquer it from the people that lived there. It wasn't just this empty space where they could just go and set up shop and away they go. They've got their city and off they go. They had to go in and conquer that place. And the task that was before him was going to be enormous. Could you imagine going without God to try to do something like that? I don't think it would have worked out very well. You know, without fully trusting God and being filled with boldness and courage, he couldn't have been able to accomplish the goal. But I love how God shows up. He shows his power when the people are to cross over the Jordan, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was Israel's most sacred item. It was a symbol of God's presence and power, and the priests, as they went ahead of those 2 million people, they put their foot in that water in the Jordan River, and that water stopped flowing. The word says up, you know, upriver, it was stopped, and the rest of the water just drained into the sea. And there was dry land for 2 million people to walk through into the promised land. You know, at the time that this was happening, the river was overflowing. It was really high. It wasn't just, you know, well, it's just like a little, you know, stream. God just knocked over a tree and, you know, blocked it up with a few trees and it was all fine. No, we're talking, it was full on. And it was stopped and they walked through on dry land. You know, it seems to me that God shows up. He shows up when he's calling his people to step into something that is well beyond them. Do you realize that? You read that again and again in the Word, and maybe you have examples in your own life when there was something that was way beyond you, and God just showed up. And he said, I'm gonna actually do a miracle here in your life. I'm gonna stop the river. I'm gonna take care of that disease. I'm gonna do something miraculous that people aren't gonna even be able to explain. And they'll have to give glory to God. It seems to me that God shows up when he's calling his people to step into something that is well beyond them. He shows up so that we can see that he goes before us. He makes a way forward for us. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, and it's up on the screen, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." God goes ahead of you when he calls you to something that is greater than yourself. And he'll show you the miracles when he is preparing to do something great. You know, for us as his people to go out into this community, to go out into Gibson's, to go out into Sunshine Coast, and be used in ways that we can't even understand yet, will require God to go before us, to see him do the miracles in people's lives. I hope you understand that. I hope you see that. But building the trust in this community is going to be the part that takes time. That's not going to be the part that's easy. That's going to be the part that takes time. It's not going to be easy. I have this picture of God interweaving his people through the life of the community. And so that we don't become this castle up on a hill that has this drawbridge that we drop down, and on Sundays all these people run in and we quickly pull it back up. Unfortunately, that's a picture that people have of the church, that is this place that nobody really knows from the outside what goes on in here. And we just want to make everyone just like us. There's no room for anyone to be different. And that it's not open. And the reality is God wants us to be open-handed to him and to people in the community. And I want to challenge you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because the God of the universe lives in you. The God of the universe lives in you. And it's only your fear that will hold you back from seeing the miracles happen, not only in your life, but in the lives of those in this community, as you step out in faith, as God leads you. I'm excited about that. I hope you are too. It's going to require patience and prayer followed by action, okay? Sometimes people say, well, you just keep praying and praying and praying and praying. Well, you have to keep praying and praying and praying and praying. God's called us to that. But what's required is action also. You pray and you act. That goes together. It goes hand in hand. When God speaks, you act. Number two, in order for Joshua to succeed, he had to obey God's law. He had to obey God's law. We read in chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "Then Joshua told the people, 'Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you.'" Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. The Israelites were to perform a purification ceremony. And this was done before making a sacrifice or here before witnessing a great act of God. One commentator says this, and you can follow along on the slide. God's law stated that a person could become unclean for many reasons. Eating certain foods. Childbirth could make you unclean. Disease would make you unclean. You know, that's kind of like now, people have a cold or something, it's just like, oh, well, yeah, you're unclean. I'll stay arm's length or more away from you, you know, so that's kind of our modern day version of unclean. Or touching a dead person, you know, would make you unclean. And God used these various outward signs of uncleanness to illustrate man's inward uncleanness that comes as a result of sin. And the consecration ceremony pictured the importance of approaching God with a pure heart. Approaching God with a pure heart. You see, friends, we are actually made righteous. We are made right when we come to accept Jesus in our hearts. But we can sometimes have this tendency to allow things to come back into our lives that taint us. And they can actually make us unclean in a way. I mean, we don't have to go through these purification ceremonies and all this kind of stuff today, but we do need to come to the throne of Jesus and ask him to take away the things in our lives that are holding us back from being in his presence fully. Some of those things can look like attitudes, or they can look like behaviors, or they can be little things that we think don't really amount to much. Sometimes it can be allowing sin into our lives and thinking that we can just have both, when the reality is that we can't. We can't. For us to move forward in strength and courage, we must put the things that hold us back from God at the foot of the cross. We can't allow the enemy any room to gain ground in our lives. Joshua had to follow God's law in order to see the people of God go into the land that God had promised. And if we want to see breakthrough in our lives, we must live out what Jesus calls us to live contrary to the ways of the world, to live for the eternal things and not for those that turn to dust. Joshua, he'd been mentored by Moses. It's been said that he was like his shadow. You know, could you imagine, you know, somebody's your shadow? I mean, they're right there. They're right behind you. He knew what it meant to obey God's law because he had been taught by watching Moses. And, you know, you are, let me ask you the question, who are you mentoring to obey and follow God? Do you have someone that you're passing on your years of knowledge and experience as a follower of Jesus? Are you doing that with anyone? Or are you just trucking along and thinking, hey, you know, I'll do the best I can and let other people do the best they can and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to encourage you. Think about who could you actually walk along with, even in this congregation, that you would be able to mentor and care for and share the experiences that you've had in God and how he's carried you from day to day. Number three, in order for Joshua to succeed, he had to constantly read and study the book of law, God's word. In verse 8 we read, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will study your commandments and reflect or meditate on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. I've shared this before. You know, sometimes when we say the word meditate, we start thinking, oh my goodness, it's all new agey and what's going on in the church? No, meditation was a long way before any of this other stuff happened, okay? And so we're called to meditate on God's word. Meditate on his word. Do you meditate on God's word? Do you allow it to saturate your spirit? You know, meditation is this combination of reviewing, repeating, reflecting, thinking, analyzing, feeling, and even enjoying. It's actually a physical, intellectual, and emotional activity, and it involves our whole being. In some ways, meditation doesn't easily fit into Western culture. You know, we are very much, like I've said before, it's got to be quick, it's got to be right now, I don't want to sit around and wait. And it doesn't fit very well into our Western culture. We value action and busyness more than stopping and considering. And there are many ways to meditate on God's word. I'll just read through a few quick ones here. Take time to read a verse or passage over and over again. You know, when you read a passage over and over again, you can pick up different things out of that passage in the Bible. Begin to memorize all or part of it. Listen, quiet your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word. Consider how it fits with the rest of the Bible or and life in general. And finally, become emotionally involved. Allow yourself to feel what God feels, his desires expressed through his words. And then maybe move from meditation to application. Connect your thoughts to action. Consider how the truth and power of the Word of God should affect your behavior. Because that's making that connection from knowledge to action to your heart. And friends, let me tell you, if you don't make that connection, you're missing out. You're missing out. Without being in God's Word, we're only looking at God's Word. Philip Brooks said this, "The Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he looks at his telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is a thing to be looked through, to see that which is beyond. But most people only look at it, and so they see only the dead letter." Friends, I truly believe, and I'm going to close with this, and we're going to move into this time of our Vision 2016. We want to do these pledges, and I pray that you've been asking the Lord to speak to you as well on what you're going to contribute and give to be part of that. I truly believe that if we are going to go where God calls us to go, our faith won't be boring. Our faith won't be boring. For us to be like Joshua, we have to go when God says go. We can't say God says go and we say, okay, I'm going to think about that, Lord. I'll see how that fits into my schedule. No, we got to go when God says go. And when we're going to have to go and we're going to have to step beyond our comfort zones. God says, I will do it, but you must go. You must go. And if you can accomplish your plans on your own, friends, you need bigger plans. They're too small. The only thing that will stop you from seeing God do amazing things in your life and in my life is going to be that willingness or unwillingness to be obedient to his call. And Joshua heard from God, and he saw the miracle of people crossing, 2 million people crossing through the Jordan because he was obedient to trust God. And we have to want to see the water stop. We have to want to see that river dry up to know that God is ahead of us, to know God in a deeper way, to know God in maybe in a new way that we haven't experienced him before. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me here in just a moment. I hope you received that letter that we mailed out. If you didn't receive that letter, it could be because we don't have your right mailing address or maybe we have an outdated one. This letter outlined Vision 2016, and I preached on that a few weeks back. And for those of you that perhaps missed being here on that Sunday, or you weren't here for a number of those weeks as I preached a series of messages, if you missed that, I would encourage you to go back onto the website and listen to those messages around vision. It'll help you just to understand the broader context. And I've had the opportunity to actually talk with a number of you personally about Vision 2016. And I look forward to more dialogue together as we set up consultation groups in 2014. And these are going to be times for you to come together and meet with the leadership to not only hear, but to speak into the plans as we move forward together in this exciting vision that God has laid before us. And as you are aware, we are trusting the Lord to raise $125,000 over the next 3 years to be able to resource 3 major focuses we believe are crucial to our increasing effectiveness in sharing the gospel and our growth and future as a vibrant church on this Sunshine Coast. Let me remind you again this morning very quickly what those 3 key areas of focus are. Number one, refurbishing the building and property. Making this church space God has given us much warmer, and I don't just mean temperature-wise, I mean atmosphere-wise as well, useful, more modern, so it reflects the quality of our God and his people, from the sign at the road to the front of the building to the foyer and the gym that we're sitting in right now are just a few examples. Number two is we want to be refueling and launching new ministries at CLA. Being able to resource ministries that currently exist in better ways and being able to launch new ministries as well and doing that in a good way that don't even exist yet, such as preteen or seniors ministry and among others that don't even exist yet. And finally, number three is planting. Planting new churches, ministries, and churches on the Sunshine Coast. Following God's leading, which he's spoken clearly, to plant seeds of true gospel communities in dark places. And again, I've told you this before. I've heard many people say to me, Sunshine Coast is such a dark place. Well, it's about time that the light of Jesus would be planted in those dark places so that they would be dark no longer. Amen? So that those who are far from Jesus can have that opportunity to experience God in a real and powerful way. We want to be very intentional. Intentional is a very important word to me. We want to be very intentional. We don't want to be reactionary. We don't want to be just haphazard. We want to be intentional in taking the light of Jesus to the darkest parts of the Sunshine Coast, because all people need to be set free from the bondage of sin and death. Finally, I also shared with you a few weeks ago that we have already gotten a commitment from our board and staff towards Vision 2016, totaling $32,120. This was before I even talked to you all about Vision 2016, because we believe as a leadership that God's leading us. And we encourage you also to take the step of faith with us today as we move forward in the vision that God has for us. And I'm excited about this because it's a big faith step for us as a church. I know I've only been here for just under 2 years, and I can't even believe it's getting close to 2 years already. But this is a big faith step for us as a church. I said it to you before, there are greater things yet to come. And you know, it's easy for us to say yay to that. But this is where we actually put that faith into motion. And we say, okay, God, if this is where you're calling us, if this is what that part of that happening, we want to be part of that. We want to be part of that. I do believe that God's leading us. It's a big step of faith for you as an individual, perhaps, today, to give sacrificially over and above your regular tithes. I shared with you before, you know, Leslie and I wanted to contribute and be a part of this as well, and we thought, well, where are we going to exactly find that? And God was faithful when we decided, yep, this is what we're going to do, and God will provide, and he did. Within a week, there it was. That and more. It's like, okay, Lord, I trust you. Thank you for being faithful. Again, he'll be faithful with you as well. Worship team, if you can just come and join me. And if I could get someone to help me just hand out those cards that I have. I have these cards that we made up here for you. And these are pledge cards, pledging your commitment to Vision 2016 over the next 3 years. The cards are just located at the back. There are pens as well. And this morning, as I shared with you before and as I shared in my letter today, what we want to do is we actually want you to fill those cards out today. We're going to take a collection of those cards after you fill those cards out. We're going to pray over that. We're going to pray over that together as we close our time. So why don't you just hand those out. If you could just take one per family or individual, and just take that. There's pen. If you need a pen as well, maybe somebody could just give Stefina a hand. If John, could you give Stefina a hand here with the pens? Would that be okay? If anyone needs a pen, you could just hand them a pen for that. Because we want to actually do that right here and right now, today. And so we've given you 3 weeks to pray about this, 3 weeks to ask the Lord what exactly that he would call you to commit to over the next 3 years, as he's called me, as he's called the board, the leadership of this church to do as well. And we want to step out in faith today. And we're going to give you a few different ways to do that. Now, I know for some of you, giving a lump sum is not really a reality. I know for me, I don't, you know, at the end of the year go, oh, hey, look, I've got an extra $5,000 just sitting here. I don't really need it for anything, so I'll just give that away. For me, that's not a reality. That may be for some of you. But for others, this may be an opportunity for you to stretch your faith on a monthly basis and to come along and say, you know what, on a monthly basis, I am going to commit as the Lord leads me, as I am able to give this amount per month for the next 3 years. And it's an act of faith, friends. And I pray again that God's been speaking to you about that. I pray he's been speaking to you about that. And so as Stephen just comes around, John, if you need a pen, if you already got your card, you need a pen, just raise your hand. You can get a pen. We can do that. We're going to do this probably again as well in another Sunday as well, just because there'll be more people that aren't here with us today that need to be a part of this as well. We're going to be tracking all of this as well. You'll get reports quarterly on how that's going. We're going to be tracking all that stuff on in our software in our office, just to let you know how it's going and what's going on as well with that. And it's good. God is good. God's leading us forward in a vision, and that's positive. It's very positive, because what does God's word say? Where there's no vision, the people perish. And friends, there are people perishing all over the Sunshine Coast. We want to be a part of what God would have to change that. So I encourage you to take that, and just we're going to pray over that in a few minutes. But maybe just as Tim, if you want to just play for a moment and just take a moment, and I'm sure God's already been speaking to you about it as you've been praying about it over these last 3 weeks. So we're just going to collect those up, and we're going to just pray. So if he can just hand those to Carolyn. There's Carol there, yep. If you have a card there, you can just put it right in there. Okay? You can share. There you go. Awesome. Okay, so you can just hand that in, and let's just believe with faith that God's going to do good things, that He has great things in store for us. I believe that. I hope you believe that as well this morning. God's got good things in store. Amen. Amen. Well, just as you hand that in, I've asked Daphne to just to come and just as our co-chair of the board to just come and pray and pray a blessing over this as we step out in faith. It doesn't have to be fireworks. It doesn't have to be any of that. It's just faithfully stepping out and what God's called us to. And so Stephen's going to pray, and we're going to ask that God would just bless and continue to pour into this, that He would bless you as you commit to making this, to give into Vision 2016, to see God's will be done here in Gibson's on the Sunshine Coast. Go ahead.
So just bow with me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for everything that You give us. We thank You for this vision that has been brought forth. And dear Lord, as we unite as one body to bring this together, this vision that You've given Pastor Jazz and the board, we thank You, dear Lord, for all the blessings that You've given us, and help us to reach a little deeper into our pockets to see this vision come through. Dear Lord, we know You don't need us, but we need You, dear Lord, and we pray now that You help us to be obedient, passionate for You about this vision as we see this new step in this church's life, dear Lord, as we see all this things start to take forth that we can get excited and passionate about, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we want each and every person here to be part of it. We want You to know that we are one body working towards You for Your glory only, dear Lord, and we thank You for that. We ask Your blessing upon this time. We ask Your blessing upon each person willing to go and give a little bit more to help this out. We thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.